Pharaoh still said no, but the angel of the Lord, he passed by in the night to destroy each firstborn. He could only spare a life when he saw the blood, a picture of God's Son. To be paid, a sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood. When he saw the blood, Abram took his son up the mountain. Fire and wood, but Father, where's the lamb? They took God at his word, and the altar was prepared. In the woods was caught a ram, and Isaac's life was spared. When he saw the blood, a picture of God's Son. Love for the ransom to be paid, a sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood. When he saw the blood, pray to his Father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done. No other lamb would need. The sky grew dark, the thunder crashed. They pierced his hands and side. His blood was spilled on the ground. Jesus suffered. Then he died, and he saw the blood. It was his Son, and he looked down from heaven above in mercy, grace, and wondrous love for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood. He saw the blood. He saw the blood. He saw the blood.
Hebrews chapter 10.
Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And that's where we ended last week. The once for all sacrifice of Messiah is better than all the sacrifices of the First Testament. First of all, because he suffered once where all the animals had to continued to be brought. And the blood of animals cannot take away sin. They are just a shadow of the real thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the worshipper's conscience was still plagued by the new sin since the last sacrifice given. And then we saw in verse 4 the impossibility of animal blood to take away man's sin. And I noted, when people teach insecure salvation, they are saying that Christ's death is equal in effect to the Old Testament animal sacrifices. And that is blasphemy. Jesus does not have to be offered over and over and over again like they did with the animals of the Old Testament. His one sufficient death is satisfactory. Now, in view of that fact, the Messiah, our Savior, volunteers to become the sacrifice. In so doing, he sets aside the First Testament and establishes the Second Testament. And this begins in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10. Wherefore, when he cometh, I like wherefore because it's just talking about, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. You know, when you realize how many animals died in the Old Testament, you can wonder how it is that God had no pleasure in that. Isn't that what you wanted? God, isn't that what you required? Yes, it's what he wanted, what he required. But every one of those deaths brought no pleasure to the Father up in heaven. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, and you have to see, this is Jesus speaking. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. That's in parentheses. And then you could go back and say, then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, offering for neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. And I believe that's referring to the Old Testament, the covenant, the old covenant, that he may establish the second. That would be the New Testament, which we commemorated in a memorial way this morning by way of communion. Remember how I said this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I didn't say this cup is the Old Testament again. No, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Verse 10. By the which will, you know, the will that he said, I will come to do thy will. By the which will we are sanctified, and that means set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Back in verse 5, God was not satisfied with the animal sacrifices offered in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. Go to Psalm 40, verse 6. Psalm 40, verse 6, where the psalmist says this, and it's repeated then in the book of Hebrews for us. So I want to take you to the Old Testament, read it there. This, all this about Christ coming, the New Testament, New Covenant, was anticipated in the Old. So the fact that it was anticipated in the Old tells you that there must be a better Testament on its way. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you remember back in Hebrews 8 where we quoted from Jeremiah? scriptures that Jeremiah wrote, anticipating someone to come who would provide a better sacrifice and a better covenant for the nation of Israel. Now here David in this psalm talks about how that sacrifices and offerings you don't desire. And yet while he said that, they are killing the animals in the tabernacle or the temple. They're killing them day by day, daily, as David writes these scriptures, saying that God does not delight in that. Well, then something better must be on its way. That's why in verse 7, the psalmist in prophecy says, then said I. Now, this is no longer David talking. David has someone else talking in his place in a way here. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's Jesus talking. Yes, I know David wrote this. David, under inspiration, is writing this. And it almost sounds like he's saying that. But you know, we get to the book of Hebrews, and we see the writer of the book of Hebrews pulling that scripture right out and placing it right upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's no doubt about it. Now, I know there's like a little bit of difference there in verse 5 of Hebrews 10, verse 5 to Psalm 40, verse 6, where it says, mine ears hast thou opened. And then over here in Hebrews, it says, a body hast thou prepared me. Well, those two statements do mean that same thing. And you might have a center column reference there that tells you that the word opened is equal to digged. And digged in the Hebrew means formed or made. Formed or made. So when it comes over into the New Testament and the Holy Spirit inspires the writer of Hebrews to write a quote from Psalm 40, verse 6, he puts it this way, but a body hast thou prepared me. You see, Jesus became a man in order that he might offer himself as the ultimate sacrifice, which God the Father would have pleasure in, to take away sins. And so Jesus became a man. He was he who was eternal with the Father from eternity past. And I'm talking about before the incarnation, before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was with the Father in eternity past. He who was eternal with the Father up in heaven took on a body. Took on a body. Virgin born. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 31. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter 1, verse 31. And it's referring to his birth here to a person named Mary. Look up there, verse 27. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Down to verse 31. And behold, he's talking to this virgin. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Down to verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, so we have the Son of God here at this point taking upon himself the form of a man. And this is not just a hallucination as the Christian scientists might want to tell us. This was really what happened. A real physical body man dwelling among us. Born of a virgin, thus without sin or the sin nature, And he is called the Son of God. Proverbs chapter 8. Another Old Testament reference here to a coming one. Proverbs chapter 8. From eternity past with the Father and took upon himself a body. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Now, in Proverbs 8, you're learning all about the subject of wisdom. And in Proverbs 8, as you proceed through the proverb, wisdom becomes personified in a person. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he's all wise. Wisdom dwells in him. And here in Proverbs 8, 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. And I will, before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So that tells me where Jesus came from. Because you see, wisdom is all of a sudden being talked about as a person here. See, and yet prior, and you'll have to do this on your own, do a study of your own tonight. Wisdom is the subject of the chapter, but by the time you're done, we're talking about a person who embodies wisdom. And that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now back to, kind of remember what we read there. I was possessed me in the beginning of his way. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. All right, back to Hebrews chapter 2 now. You say, oh, don't tell me you're going to go back there and preach again. No, well, I wouldn't mind. but chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He came down from heaven, from glory, to walk among us, that he, as a man, might taste death for us, or on our behalf. He didn't just taste death so he could say, well, I know how you feel. Or follow me, this is the way to die. No, he tasted death on my behalf. And folks listening to me, as a result of that, this man can offer to you everlasting life. Because he's going to take your death and make it his own, and then conquer it by rising up from the grave and then offering it to you. And he even did that when he was still alive, because he told Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? And he hadn't even gone to the cross yet. He hadn't even been buried and rise up from the dead yet. And he's declaring himself to be the resurrection. What a wonderful Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to Hebrews chapter 10 as we go further into verse 6. God had no pleasure in the death of animals. You know, I believe God loves animals. I have no reason to think that God sits up in heaven and says, oh, I can't wait to get rid of some animals. Let's devise a way to kill a bunch of them. This is the way we'll do it. We'll set up a covenant that says you got to kill animals in order to have your sins covered. And you got to kill a lot of them because I don't like it. No, that's not our God. Romans 8 tells us that all of creation groans in pain together because of you and me, the sinners who put all this curse upon this creation. And the animals have to endure all the troubles of the curse, including even many of them having to give their lives on the altars of the Old Testament covenant to cover the sins of the people until Jesus would come and not only cover but take them away and put them as far away as the east is from the west and into the depths of the sea, so that God could say, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. What a complete satisfaction. God didn't have pleasure in animals dying. God loves animals, but you know what? They are ordained types of God's ordained Lamb, Jesus Christ. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All those other lambs, bulls and goats and pigeons and turtle doves and all those animals that were offered in the Old Testament, even up to the time of Christ while he was here on earth. Even his own parents had to go down to the temple in Jerusalem. And of course, on their way back, they left him behind. Remember the whole story there? What were they down there for? To offer sacrifices for their own sins. And I'm going to tell you this, they didn't offer any for Jesus. They were offering it for their own sins as required by the law after a child is born. Those animals are ordained types of the ordained Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. God had no pleasure in the death of animals, but you know, as hard as this may seem, God the Father had pleasure when his own son did die. Now, I'm sure it wasn't easy for him to do it. You know how sometimes there can be joy in the midst of sorrow, don't you? You know, that's possible, isn't it? That you can actually be crying with tears of sorrow, but actually having joy at the same time. When a loved one passes on from us and we know that they're saved, we cry tears of sorrow, missing them. But down inside, isn't there a joy knowing I'm going to see them again? I'm going to see them again. So while heavy tears, salty tears, cover your face, in the heart you can have joy. And I believe the Father in heaven, as his son died on the cross, experienced pleasure that the price was paid. And the awfulness of sin was triumphed over at the cross. And it's a wonderful thing. And it goes on then in verses 7 to show how that in eternity past, Christ accepted his part in our redemption. This verse describes a conversation between the Son and the Father from eternity past. This wasn't just something that came when Jesus came here and he decided to go to the cross. No, this was long before. It was at least as far back to David, because David is saying this, and Hebrews is simply quoting David. And what David is saying has already taken place as well before David's time. And he even says this about it, that in the volume of the book, it is written of me that I come to do thy will, O God. You know where it takes me? It takes me back even before creation to a time in eternity past. My Lord and Savior said to the Father, I will be that lamb that dies. And that was sufficient even then for the Father. And every time one of those animals in the Old Testament died, it does say in the Bible that when they would burn them on the altar, that it went up as a sweet savor, a sweet savor to God up in heaven. And yet he had no pleasure in the death of those animals. But it was a sweet savor. You know why? Because it was a type of how he knew, without a doubt, from eternity past, that his son would come into this world, take on a body, and be the lamb. And the one sacrifice, and the one blood, that will forever triumph over sin. And he did. In the volume of the book, that book's the Word of God. This book right here. Don't you love this book? Isn't this a great book? I love this book. I hope you do too. The more I read this book, the more I see Jesus on every page, in every chapter, every line. So even those lines in Chronicles, where all the names of the guys are, you can't even pronounce. Yes. Because those are very needful. All those names are needful. And one of these days, I believe God's going to show the genealogy for Israel. Right on back from whatever time it is that the 7 years of tribulation takes place and the kingdom age starts. He's going to trace all their lineage right back to those men all mentioned in there. And prove to them that they belong to him as the children of Israel. And then those other lists of men who died, where it says so-and-so lived so many years, had children. Then he lived so many years and he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. I see Jesus there too. Because it tells me there's going to come someone. He's going to die but rise up again and conquer death. Oh boy. It's just in the volume of the book. It is written in me. John chapter 5, verse 39. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures. You know what? Do that. These men did it, but they didn't do it with the right understanding. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. You know, they kind of thought that the eternal life just resided in the fact that they had the scriptures. But the scriptures do something else. And they are they which testify of me. The word's purpose is not that you just might brag in the fact, we're the only ones with special sacred writings. Oh, those writings testify of a person that you need to come to know. And there he was standing in their very presence and they couldn't see him, though they had the scriptures and read the scriptures. They couldn't see who the scriptures were testifying of. I'm glad I know. I know them, and I'm having a good time with the scriptures, which are testifying to me of Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, this is Jesus speaking, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Is that where it ends? Concerning me. Concerning me. You know, they still take, I talk about Israel and the Jews, they still take pride in the fact that they've got copies of the law. copies of the Old Testament. Why, they have built buildings with the Dead Sea Scrolls on them, and that's a sacred place. And yet they don't know the one whom those scriptures talk about. And to know him is to have everlasting life. Isn't that sad? Well, verse 8. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Folks, that's what he did. He took away the first covenant, that he may establish the second. And we've already studied that over and over and over again. Here we have it repeated. It is as clear as a bell. Clear as can be. It's as clear as chapter 8, verse 13. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And oh, it's a sad... It is a sad situation, I can't think of a word religiously, that men would actually try to put us all back under the first covenant and make us slaves to it rather than setting us at liberty in Christ in the New Testament. Oh, I have responsibilities and everything and things I need to do, but I do them in the confines of liberty in Christ. And that is so wonderful. Don't put me under the law, the legal system. Do you know, Israel is going to build a temple. They're going to once again establish the sacrificial system. It's already been done and put away. This book of Hebrews says so. Oh, that they would see it. And then verse 10 as we close. By the which will, that means by this will of God, the putting away of the old for the new, as a result, we are set apart unto God once for all. See, by the which will, what will? This will that says, I'll come, I'll do what you want me to do, Father. What do you want me to do? I want you to die for the sins of all men and then conquer death. Rise up from the grave. I'll do it. Now, that was in the eternity past. By the which will, we are sanctified or set apart through the offering of the hallucination of Jesus. No, of the body. The real, literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once for all. Stop all these Catholic mass sacrifices. You need them not. You need the one sacrifice of the body of Christ on the cross once for all. Jesus Christ. Oh boy. I see these little eyes looking at me from young hearts and I wonder if they understand. But I just keep preaching so that one day they will say, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. You're listening to me on the internet. You need to right now, if you've never done this before, you need to place your faith and trust for eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we're keeping Sabbath. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. He'll give you the Sabbath rest you need. Well, we're keeping the dietary laws of the Old Testament. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you the bread of life, which will give you everlasting life. Well, we're keeping Sabbath days and holy days. Oh, no. Don't do it. That's weak and beggarly elements, it says. Trust in my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's everything you need. He is all you need. There is no one else you need but him. If you're here tonight and not saved, you need to respond as we sing, Jason, would you come? Let's sing number 383. No, not one. There's none other friend like Jesus. No, not one. There's no one like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. You come to Him and let Him save your soul, and He'll do it. And you'll have a new life in Christ. Let's stand and sing if you can. Number 383, if you need to come, you come at this time. Gets connected to the chemotherapy. Boy, I don't like that. I wonder, maybe if I just keep on preaching, then I won't have to go. All right? I'm trying anything I can do to not go there. I'm praying for the rapture. All right. Hey, it might be 10:39. We go up in the rapture. I can say goodbye to that nurse and that needle coming at me. And you can give that to some other soul. Sorry, soul. I'm going to heaven. Wow. But if not, then I need grace and mercy. Wow. And I need to drink a lot of water. And my wife, she can't get me to drink water like I need to. So would you pray that I do that? I need to drink a lot of water every day. Right, honey? Yeah. And right, Katie? You're my honey, too. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'll let you go. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for the good time here and for the renewed vows on the part of Andy and Linda. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them. Help them as they have found, they think they have found a good church to go to. And that's a good answer to prayer. We've been praying for that. And bless that family and Abigail, all of them, to serve the Lord. Who knows what you're going to do through them as they faithfully serve you. And help us as we go out of here to take the good news with us and live for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.